Hey, this is Cap, and thank you for listening to the Cap and Company podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Stream ESPN 1000 easily on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Okay, so here's the latest. This is fact. So when Zach Plesac and Mike Clevenger went out Saturday night in Chicago, they did not go to bars. They did not go hang out in public and do whatever it is athletes with a lot of money do on a night off. They just went to a local house for dinner from a friend. But they broke protocol. And they were told, you cannot leave the hotel without permission from the protocol officer, and he probably won't grant said permission. They catch Plesac coming back in, from what we've been told. And so they make him rent a car, and boom, he drives back to Cleveland. Clevenger gets on the team plane. Now, mind you, Carlos Carrasco dealt with leukemia a year and a half ago. And Clevenger, knowing he'd broken protocol, flew back on the team plane. He's now been scratched from tonight's start. That leads us to our guy, Emmett Golden, from ESPN Cleveland, on the Indians' quote-unquote going out situation. Emmett, thank you for taking time, man. So the Cubs and the Indians play tonight. Clevenger, who's a beast as a pitcher, is not getting the start. Adam Plutko is. What can you tell us that you guys have learned about this whole ridiculous situation?
I mean, the biggest thing is that it did not go over well in the clubhouse. I mean, we know that a lot of guys were furious with Plesac, and I think they're even more mad now at Clevenger because, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, somebody stealing something then helping you look for it, right? You know, where it's like, oh, yeah, man, this guy, yeah, he shouldn't have gone out. Man, what was he doing knowing the whole time he was with them? So I'm really interested to see how, just internally, how they handle this, because from everything I hear, there were several players on the Indians team that are furious with Clevenger right now.
So could this short circuit their clubhouse this season? Can they get past this?
I think it can throw a monkey wrench in what they were trying to do. I mean, they were struggling at the plate already, and the one thing that they could count on was their starting rotation, which in my opinion is arguably the best in all of baseball. So they were able to hang their hat on that. Now you got two guys that are in that rotation that, I mean, I don't know if it's fair or not, but I would completely understand if guys didn't trust them anymore. So it definitely, I think, will hurt what the Indians are trying to do this year. Will they be able to overcome it? I mean, they got a pretty strong clubhouse, and those guys are both young. Even though Clevenger's been around for a little bit, he's still relatively, you know, young when it comes to inside that clubhouse. So I'm really interested to see what happens, because I even think there could be some more, you know, like a fine or suspension coming for both those guys.
So do you look at this, and I don't know what's being reported there because I'm on the air. I know what I've read, but what I was told is they went to a home in the Chicago area with a friend, and the two of them had dinner. What I don't understand is, how does Zach Plesac get caught and forced to have to take a car back to Cleveland 5.5 hours, but Clevenger gets on the team plane knowing he broke protocol? That one's worse for me. They're both bad, but that one's worse.
That one most certainly, you know, is worse. And, you know, they went to a friend's house for dinner, allegedly. Who else was at the friend's house? You know, what else was going on there? Was it a simple stop by, have a meal with one other person, which we probably would go, ah, that's not the worst thing in the world? Or were there multiple people there? But we do know, again, you mentioned Carlos Carrasco, who just recently had a battle with leukemia. Terry Francona, their head coach, has some health issues. So knowing that you have guys, you know, on your team and in your dugout that you have to take care of from a health standpoint, And then again, Clevenger, it is. The cover up's always worse than the crime, right? Had he just said, hey, me and Zach, we were together, and they both would have went home for that long car ride, which I'm sure Zach didn't enjoy, but I don't think it would have been as big of a deal. But to get on a plane, and we know planes, you know, how what they do with germs and everything, yeah, that is far worse than what police Zach did.
Is this a huge story in Cleveland? Because I could tell you, if this had been the Cubs or the White Sox and this had happened, it would be a monster story in our town. How is it being treated there?
Oh, it's the biggest thing going on right now. And this is a city where, I mean, the Browns usually run everything. And not very often, you know, do the Indians crack the, like, opening topic on most shows. But everybody's talking about it. Fans are furious. And it is the biggest thing going on in Cleveland right now. I mean, nobody wants to be the Marlins, right? And you look at this and you go, man, if anybody pops up with COVID-19, they're going to look at Zach and Clevenger and go, it's your fault. And that's a sticky situation to be in.
How good is this Cleveland team that the Cubs will battle tonight? Cubs are off to a really good start at 10-3. They have the best winning percentage in all of Major League Baseball. They have done the best job so far, knock on wood, with the protocol having zero positive COVID-19 tests since intake day back on July 1. What type of a team are they getting tonight?
They're going to face a good pitcher. I know Adam Plutko he's essentially the sixth starter, but he's not your typical sixth starter. He's not your typical spot start guy. He's really, really good. Would probably be third in the rotation, if not second, in many other rotations around Major League Baseball. But I'll tell you this, if you can score three runs, you got a great chance of winning, because the Indians have not been consistent at the plate. They've been struggling all year. Looks like they could be seeing the start of them coming out, but not a lot of confidence in this offense. So if you can get to the starter and score three runs on them, then you got a great opportunity of winning.
Well, it's obviously a story here because it happened against the White Sox. It happened in our town. What are they saying the two of them did? Because from what I've been able to deduce, they went to a home for dinner. It was not like they were running around on Rush Street, bar to bar, unmasked with, you know, thousands.
Yeah, well, it's a little bit of both. We're hearing no. At first, we were hearing they went to a bar. And then it was no, they didn't go to a bar. They went to a friend's house. But a lot of people are skeptical of that story. You know, did you go to, if you were just going to a friend's house, and we know that, you know, I don't know if he was involved at all, but Jason Kipnis, right? He was a former teammate. If they went and said, hey, Skip, can we go over, you know, to see Kip? Maybe they would have said okay. Maybe they would have said no. But a lot of people aren't exactly here in Cleveland believing that we just stopped over a friend's house for dinner, because, you know, why would you sneak if it was something as innocent as that? So we've kind of got the same information here in Cleveland. A lot of people are skeptical about that information. So what we do know is those guys are in huge trouble, because the Indians, they don't play around. Framil Reyes went to a 4th of July party, you know, during summer camp, and they made him stay away from the team for a few days just because they saw a picture of him on Instagram around a bunch of people. So the Indians, they don't play at all when it comes to the protocols for COVID-19.
Well, looking forward to watching these two teams tangle tonight, and hopefully there's no fallout from what they did. Has there been any concern that Clevenger may have exposed his teammates by going on the plane?
That's the biggest concern. That's the biggest thing right there, is everybody's thinking about Carlos Carrasco. I mean, his story was so amazing for him to fight leukemia, overcome it, be able to contribute a little last year and then come back this year and be in the starting rotation, pitching really well. It's just a great story. And people here, I mean, just the team and people in Cleveland love Carlos Carrasco so much. And everyone is just looking, going, man, it's incredibly selfish for you to put Cookie in that situation, because we know how risky it is for people with previous health conditions to be exposed to COVID. Now, maybe Clevenger didn't contract anything, and that's best case scenario, and that's what everybody's hoping for.
Well, I don't know. I can tell you, if I was not only Carrasco, but any of the guys on that plane, I'd say, please, Zach, you're an idiot. Clevenger, that was just awful what you did. That'd be a tough one to get past.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I've kind of heard that that's where guys found out was on the plane, you know, that Clevenger was with them. And it was, it took everybody by surprise, and guys were very, very upset, more upset with Clevenger than they were with Zach. And they were extremely furious with Zach. So I can only imagine what the fallout will be in the next few days as we get more information, as the Indians decide what they're going to do from a discipline standpoint.
Hey, man, appreciate your time. Have a great day. Enjoy the game tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. There you go. Emmett Golden, ESPN Cleveland. So that is the big story in town. You've got the Browns already off to training camp, and there are a lot of people excited about where their football team may be headed this year as they keep adding all these high draft picks. And they said Baker Mayfield looks amazing. But all they're talking about, you heard what he said. Hey, what we're really talking about is not only did these two guys go out, one of them had the audacity to get on the plane knowing he broke COVID-19 protocol. Oh, and by the way, one of the guys on the plane was in chemo a year and a half ago for leukemia, Carlos Carrasco. That is as selfish a move as I've heard in a long time, and I hope these guys get punished and punished severely. 312-332-3776. Should the Cubs be fearful of playing the Indians this week? That's next.
Cap. This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at the Capman on Twitter.
Welcome back, ESPN 1000 with Danny Zetterman and Christopher Emmanuel Bleck. I'm David Kaplan, 312-332-3776.
Hey, Cap, on Monday, where can I hear you?
7 a.m., our brand new morning show that I will get to co-host with my pal, Jonathan Hood. Cap and J Hood, 7 a.m., starting on Monday, and I will get to hear you and the great Adam A. Abdallah 6 to 8 every night. Excited. So you guys will do the baseball show into your own show, and are you going to keep the good, great question bit going, or can I steal that?
Yeah, no. Don't steal that. I think that's going to be on Thursday nights. I think that's what we're looking at right now is Thursday nights we'll get the good question in there, so we'll keep them tallied, and we've been doing it for 3 years, so we got to keep it rolling.
Got to keep it rolling. I love that bit.
Yeah.
Even though it's not always fair. 312.
Rules are rules, Cap. Rules are rules.
When someone says, that's a good one, that should count.
No, that's not the game.
Yeah, and you got your little friends out there,
hey,
John
Noach. Just because the way you trained playing basketball growing up, you had your parents lowered a hoop to 8 feet. I mean, listen, that's not regulation size. Sorry. Nice try, buddy.
Wow.
Participation trophy for you, but
you got
we'll move on.
All your friends on Twitter, yeah, John Noach, Nick Palazzolo.
My peeps.
They're all defending you. Anyway, 312-332-3776, Matt's in River North. Hey, Matt, what's up, man?
Hey, Cap. So your question is, am I afraid of the Indians? I mean, I'm afraid of everybody, but they're missing their three best pitchers, so that's kind of a relief. I would like to see the Cubs, you know, manufacture some runs, not rely so much on the home run. Another thing, I caught the Chicago baseball tonight. Very good show.
Thank
Gordon Whitmire is real good. I got to bring this up, though. If the Cubs had done this, you would be killing them if they traded Fernando Tatis for a piece of garbage like Shane Seals. White Sox really traded Mike Trout for nothing.
Yeah, there are some people that think Fernando Tatis is the best player in the game. I'm not one of them, but he's one of the top five.
Well, I don't know if you saw Mark DeRosa talk about him. He calls him the Predator. I mean, talent-wise, the guy looks off the charts. Another thing, let me ask you this. You guys were talking about Eloy's defense, and I played Division I college baseball, and our center fielder was one of the best, and I showed him some of Eloy's plays, and he's like, clearly, the guy doesn't have – he gets a terrible break on the ball. He can't go and get to the spot and take his eye off the ball. He goes, they got to consider replacing him with like what the Cubs used to do with Soriano. Are you going to take him out in late innings and put somebody else in? Because he might get better at catching balls and all that stuff, but that throwing arm is the worst in baseball. So how do you handle that, or do you make him a DH?
I hate to have young guys
automatically get painted as a DH, but if you're trying to win a championship, you got to do what's best for your team, right?
Well, I also thought, I don't know if you saw the play where Adam Engel, though, missed a ball.
Yep.
I didn't see a whole lot of hustle from the right fielder or Eloy to back him up. And I think that falls on Ricky. You know what I mean? You know, what Keuchel came out and said, I think he's talking about plays like that, you know, but they're not.
Yes, you know, but how do you blame the manager when a major leaguer dives into the netting or guy dives and misses a ball? That's not on the manager.
Well, but my buddy said, he goes, he would have benched Eloy. He said it was lackadaisical. Because he doesn't blame him for missing the ball. He goes, that would be on the manager for putting a bad outfielder out there. He blames him for the lackadaisical effort running after the ball. He goes, you got to get benched for that.
Well, I appreciate your call, Matt. Enjoy the games tonight. We've got a good night of Chicago sports tonight. Cubs, Indians, White Sox, Tigers, Blackhawks, Golden Knights. And by the way, Patrick Sharp at 11 o'clock this morning to break down that game. That Golden Knights team is really good. Really good. But there's nothing like late night sports when your teams are involved. Like, good night, honey. See you, Mindy. Sleep good. And I'll be down on the couch watching baseball, hockey, whatever is there. Looking forward to it, man. Cannot wait. Like, Chris, you do it because you love it. If you were not in the industry, if you were Chris the accountant, would Chris the accountant stay up late night hockey, baseball, basketball, whatever it is, till 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah. I love sports.
That's
yeah.
That's who you are.
Well, yeah, it's what people do.
Because I've got friends like,
I
got
to get up and go to work. Ooh. I'll find out in the morning.
Name names. Losers. I mean, what's that about? Watch sports.
That's it.
I'm sure Danny does, too.
I think Danny would be...
No offense. I don't really want to call you a loser if that's what you do, but watch sports.
Danny, would you go to sleep if you didn't have to watch the game tonight because Danny was an accountant at Ernst & Young or whoever, and not a highly successful professional broadcaster?
No, I wouldn't go to sleep. I would stay up to watch, but I'd feel less pressure if I did fall asleep.
Right.
Like, tomorrow, you're not going to be here, right? Chris Bleck and I are going to be hosting your show for you.
Uh-huh.
I know that I have to see every minute of the game because tomorrow I'm going to be tasked with talking about it.
Correct.
So because I have this job, there's extreme pressure on me not to doze off during the game. Whereas if I was an accountant with whatever firm you were just mentioning,
mm-hmm.
I could fall asleep and not feel like, oh, my God, I missed something.
Right. You wouldn't automatically go, I'm going
Correct.
To bed.
But as being a Chicago sports fan, I mean, we all went into this because we love sports and we love broadcasting. So I would stay up anyways to watch it because I'm interested in the game. Just there's more pressure on me not to fall asleep now.
That's it. Well, I'm excited. Absolutely excited to watch this game because Edmonton had some firepower. Vegas has big time firepower. But I want to get back to this thing going on with the Indians. Would you, as a Cubs player, be concerned, Danny Emmanuel Zetterman, that...
Why, when I call you Emmanuel, do you have to apply that to everyone? Come up with your own bit. We're moving 7 to 10. Our new... What is it? New Year's resolution. Our morning show resolution. Cap comes up with his own bit.
He just tried to take a good question.
Yeah. I mean, come on,
I didn't try. I just asked.
Stop it now. Stop it. You're going to let me... Jeff Meller and Jonathan Hood down if you do that.
I just asked if he wasn't going to use good question, I would take it.
Yeah, we're just going to not use it, just leave it on the side. You're
right. Ask me the question and I'll give you an answer.
Would you be fearful of playing an Indians team that flew on the plane with a guy that broke protocol? Now, he was not out in the bars. He was not out, you know, doing whatever on the streets of Chicago. He simply went to someone's home locally for dinner.
That's what we hear. We don't know for a fact. Here's what
I've confirmed that.
Yeah, but you don't know who was there. How many people were at the dinner party?
I believe it was very intimate, small.
What's intimate? 10? 15?
Less than that.
Well, here's my thing. The Cubs have had zero positive tests of COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
They've done an outstanding job at keeping their players safe and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
If I was a Cub player, if I was Theo and Jed, I would be pissed that tonight my guys are going to be on the field with the same guys that were on a plane with a guy that snuck out and didn't have the, to use one of your words, temerity to be honest with the rest of the team.
You like that word.
He now put his whole team at risk. His whole team is now in jeopardy of getting something. Whether it was an intimate gathering or a big gathering, you don't know the people that you were with who they were with. You don't know how serious they're taking it. And right now, baseball players have to be taking this really seriously because we saw what happened to the Cardinals. We saw what happened to the Marlins. And now the Cubs are going to be standing on first base next to a first baseman who was on a plane with Clevinger. I mean, it's just, it's not a situation I'd want to be in, nor would I want to put my team in.
Okay.
But what are you going to do? You're going to not play the game?
Right.
So, like, they're putting the Cubs between a rock and a hard place. It's really crappy what the Indians are doing. And the Indians aren't doing it on purpose. Some two bonehead players made the decision for the rest of the team.
But the one that the Clevinger one, to me, is so much more egregious. And that's why you have to send a message. And I was arguing with Yurko on Crosstalk yesterday. You have to send a message that there are consequences for ridiculous actions.
I don't know if the Clevinger one's more egregious. It's just more cowardly. Like, here's a
it's
guy
more egregious. He lied. He got on the plane knowing what he did. He's got a teammate that had cancer.
Yeah, he just kept his mouth shut. He was a coward. He saw what happened to Plesac. So instead of being like, hey, I was there too, me too, he just kept his mouth shut. He let Plesac take the fall for both of them. He was a tremendous coward. And I don't know if his teammates will ever respect him the same way again.
Right. Like, you remember the scene in Stripes when they
now
get...
Now you're quoting Stripes, you lost me.
You never saw that movie?
I saw it. I thought that's one of those overrated movies.
Oh, my God. It's a phenomenal movie.
The olds are going to come for you,
yeah,
Danny.
Stripes.
Watch out.
Stripes, Caddyshack, awesome movies.
I like Caddyshack, but like I don't hang my hat on it. What's the Mel Brooks movie where they're farting around the campfire?
Blazing Saddles.
I'll never forget my dad. You got to watch Blazing Saddles. Oh, my God, it's the greatest movie ever. Oh, my God, it's so funny. I sat down to watch Blazing Saddles. Nothing was funny. Like, fart jokes aren't funny anymore.
How about when he punched the horse?
Okay. Like,
all right,
never...
PETA. I mean, yeah. For such a horse enthusiast, shouldn't you be up in arms?
Who did you say?
A horse enthusiast.
You're a horse enthusiast, are you not?
Yeah.
Your favorite person in the world is a horse.
Secretariat.
Yeah, right.
I would say he's my favorite person. Well, he's my favorite athlete.
Well, we've all kind of listened to you talk about this horse so many times, and you're now pro punching a horse in the face.
Oh, it was comedy. Relax.
Comedy? I mean, for someone who cares so deeply about horses.
Are you woke or not, Cap?
I mean, this is just shocking.
Yes, I'm woke.
Sounds like you're getting triggered.
A bit.
I'm not getting triggered at all.
I'm just saying, for someone who loves horses so much, I'm surprised that you find that scene to be comical.
I found that scene to be very, very funny. So just like I found Mr. Ed to be a great television show.
Mr. Ed was great. Which theory do you believe got his mouth to move? The
peanut butter
in the mouth or the carrot in the...
Oh, it was the peanut butter in the mouth.
Carrot in the what?
Smeared it all over his mouth.
The opposite end of the mouth.
Why would the mouth move then?
Chris, if someone stuck a carrot there on you, I think your mouth would make some gyrations, too.
Yeah, no question.
We could try that 6 to 10 starting next week.
So if that's the theory, then why?
The show starts at 6.
Oh, his show. I thought you meant on our show.
If that's like, the theory, if you're going with the carrot theory, shouldn't you be even more up in arms for the horse and what went on set? That seems... That's not right, Cap. You should be sticking up for these horses more.
Maybe he enjoyed it.
Who do you feel worse for, the horse or the guy whose job it is to have the carrot?
I feel worse for us right now having this conversation.
Adam Rittenberg on the upcome from ESPN.
Are you going to ever do the Stripes? What about the Stripes reference? Like, you have to at least pay off the Stripes.
He forgot.
Remember when they got caught when they went to the club and they came back? And Sergeant Hulk is yelling at him. He goes, anybody have the guts to step forward? And Bill Murray kind of fakes a half a step. Harold Ramis steps out, and he gets put on garbage can duty. You'll be scrubbing garbage cans for the next 24 hours. And the other one didn't have the guts to do it. He did not. Same thing, Clevinger. At least Plesac, okay, I effed up. Clevinger got on the plane? Loser. 312-332-3776. Adam Rittenberg from ESPN on the upcoming college football season. We're expecting some breaking news at some point, possibly today. back in 3 minutes.
Sports talk while you're on the clock. Cap and Company.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Tune into the show on Twitch. Hello, Twitch audience. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000 Chicago. And Twitch is always brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings in Algonquin and Miller Lite. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. I'm David Kaplan with Danny Zetterman and Christopher Bleck. And let's go to Adam Rittenberg, because there is so much percolating about college football. And as a father who had a child playing college football just a couple, it's been like 4 years ago. I asked him, you were an offensive lineman. How would you feel about this? And he said, I can tell you that just about every play, there's spit flying and everything else. So I don't know how you keep people safe unless guys are willing to take it seriously. And I'm not sure college students can be trusted when we see pro athletes that can't. That leads us to Adam Rittenberg. He joins me now. Adam, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Cap. How you doing, brother?
Doing very well. So we're all waiting for news to drop. What do you expect to have happen with the Big Ten and college football here as training camp should be rolling?
Right. Well, the Big Ten has significant meetings this morning. Presidents, their sports medicine group, their athletic directors, everybody's talking, and there could be a decision really at any time, at least the next step. Now, I've heard that there's a decent chance the decision is basically to postpone the decision so that they wouldn't say at this point we're not playing this fall, which was certainly the position of the president over the weekend, but they would say, okay, we're probably not going to start Labor Day weekend. On this date, we'll decide whether the fall is possible or whether we'll look to a spring season. So that's a likely outcome of today, but it certainly could change, as we've seen over the last 24, 48 hours. The Pac-12 has a meeting of its presidents later this morning. They're also hearing the latest medical report from their advisory group. The sources in that league indicating it's certainly likely that they postpone their fall season. It may not happen, but that's what I've heard as of last night and this morning. So those are the two leagues that everybody's watching right now, the Big Ten and the Pac-12, and then certainly the other Power Five leagues will have to follow, though the SEC and the ACC seem to be fairly committed to moving forward and trying to play this season.
So do you think there is a chance that Ohio State says, yeah, Kevin Warren, commissioner, and all you other conference presidents, good luck. You guys sit it out. We're going to play in the SEC for a year. Or yeah, we're going to go to the Big 12 if you're Nebraska.
I don't think that's realistic. They would have to get Big Ten permission to do that, and then the following year be getting the full revenue share of $50-plus million. That's not exactly something that Kevin Warren and the other Big Ten presidents are going to be jumping at the chance to grant. So I know there's a lot of posturing out there, especially from Nebraska. Ohio State has been a founding member of the Big Ten. They've been in the Big Ten forever. For them to go compete in another conference, I wouldn't rule it out, because you can't rule anything out right now. But it's not just as simple as saying, see you later, we're going to go play in the SEC. It doesn't work like that.
So when we keep hearing all that speculation, if let's assume it is Nebraska, because I heard Scott Frost's comments, their head coach. It seems like you've got some college football coaches that, I don't know if it's the money, I don't know if it's how they're wired, it just doesn't seem like that they're putting the health of the student athlete first and foremost. Is that apparent to you?
Well, Cap, they feel like they're doing everything they can right now to take care of these athletes. And they feel if you're not having a season, they're going to be in worse shape, because they're maybe not going to be tested as often as they are right now. They're not going to have the amount of contact they do with sports medicine folks. Some of them may leave campus and enter environments where they're not as safe. And I agree with a lot of that. And many of these schools, Jim Harbaugh from Michigan outlined how well they've been doing so far with their testing protocols and limiting the number of positive tests certainly limiting outbreaks, but we have seen outbreaks. We saw one at Rutgers. We saw one at Michigan State. We've seen one in other conferences, and this is, you know, even before full-on practices and then competition this fall. And that's what presidents are concerned about, is without knowing for sure that everybody that's going to be on the field on a Saturday is negative for COVID-19, what's going to happen on the back end? Are we going to have 30 positives after a game? You know, when we could have avoided this? That's what they're really worried about, as well as the latest medical information about long-term effects of people that have quote-unquote recovered from COVID-19.
So, and we're talking to Adam Rittenberg from ESPN. When do you expect that we will have a crystal clear decision? It's got to be quick here, right?
Well, again, I think there will be a decision today, Cap, from the Big Ten on whether they will postpone the fall season entirely or whether they'll decide at a later date if they can play in the fall or have to go to the spring. I don't think they can let this linger. The Big Ten, I thought, should have come out with something more definitive on Monday, especially if they were so concerned about these latest medical reports about long-term effects. Instead, they lost the messaging. The coaches took it over, along with the hashtag we want to play movement from the players. The president's weighing in. Politicians are weighing in. That was yesterday, Cap, was one of the worst days I can remember as someone who's covered the Big Ten for a long time. This is a league that prides itself on unity and no public squabbling. This is a league where Ohio State and Michigan share revenue equally with Indiana, Purdue, and Northwestern. That was a terrible day as far as the perception of the Big Ten yesterday, and they need to get that under control, especially a new commissioner and Kevin Warren.
So this is basically, correct me if I'm wrong, this is a watershed moment for his young tenure as the commissioner. Now, he's a highly successful executive. He came from the Vikings, and everyone thought this is a home run hire to get this guy. But in your column, you said several league sources and longtime Big Ten observers think first-year commissioner Kevin Warren and the presidents of each university must, quote, read the room, end quote, and resist the impulse to postpone outright. Is that where we sit this morning when Scott Frost says, we're completely aligned to play, and we would even attempt to compete outside the Big Ten if necessary?
Sure. I think they have to read the room. Now, will they is a different question. College presidents, Cap, are unpredictable, and they're the ones who are making this decision, not necessarily the athletic directors or the coaches. Kevin Warren is in more of an advisory role, but I don't think you can ignore what happened yesterday. And if you think those coaches are just acting on their own without consulting their athletic directors, I mean, there's certainly some important people, you know, in these athletic programs that believe that they can go forward. I mean, the Big Ten just announced last week a schedule model that has built-in flexibility to reschedule, to push back the start of the season, to push back the championship game. I think there's some in the league that think, why not at least attempt to use that model instead of on August 10th or 11th, whatever today is, saying that we're done, that we're not going to compete this fall, because that would certainly have major consequences.
I saw in that column, Chris Lowe, who is the SEC writer, does what you do for the SEC, said Tennessee Chancellor Donde Plowman met with the Vols team on Monday and tweeted that she received a resounding yes when she asked the players whether they wanted to play this season. This group of student athletes have worked hard to prepare for the season amidst details and strict health and safety protocols. I can't wait to see them on the field in Neyland Stadium, Plowman tweeted. Okay, you're telling me that a highly educated woman who becomes chancellor of a fine university like the University of Tennessee, she is going to be swayed whether a bunch of 18 to 22-year-olds said, yes, we want to play. That's ludicrous.
Right, and that's certainly the argument to postpone, is that you don't let the players decide, and you don't let the coaches decide. And as university president, you have so much more that you're responsible for, and you have to project into the future. I mean, one thing the Big Ten source told me today is think about the class action lawsuits if they go ahead and play, and a bunch of these players have long-term effects from COVID-19, and they haven't signed waivers because the NCAA says that's morally repugnant. Don't force anyone to sign a waiver. If you're a university president, certainly you're staring at a lot of damage in the immediate if you don't play college football this fall, both financial and certainly the feelings of a lot of your key constituents. But if you look in the future, you could also be looking at an even worse situation down the line.
Well, keep us posted. We appreciate your great dedication to this beat because the Big Ten can be a leader in what goes on here, and we'll find out, I would think, fairly quickly.
No doubt. Thanks, Cap. Appreciate it.
Have a great day. There he is, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN, who covers the Big Ten and does an amazing job at it. We go back in time. That's right. We celebrate America's sweetheart, Tom Waddle. Next. Hey, this hour brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through life's ups and downs, over all the journeys ahead, you know what to bring. Card you can count on, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, through it all.
Did you miss some Cap and Company? Your podcast is ready. Chicago's home for sports is on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
This is Cap and Company on ESPN 1000.
Sorry, I got to turn my mic up. Sorry.
We were wondering who you were yelling at. Like, Chris and I were like, does he know that he's not on the radio right now?
That's awesome.
Mike
this
Thomas.
Is fantastic.
Paging Mike Thomas. Are you sure you want to move David Kaplan to 7 a.m.?
That was outstanding. I could hear you yelling in there. I'm like, what is he doing? I'm sure the people on Twitch got to see you yelling into the mic.
I hit the off button instead of the on button. Sorry.
What's happening there?
Sorry. We got to pick a date for the Unity Walk.
Yeah, we're waiting.
And I think I've got the Unity tattoo I'm going to get. So.
What is it? Can you describe it?
It's like interlocking rings.
So for the Olympics?
It's not Olympics. It's like different. You'll see it. But I'm going to get that.
It's exactly like the Olympic rings, but different.
Yeah.
Can you run it by us before you get it?
No.
Because, like, your live life all in, great tattoo, whatever the case may be, we probably would have nixed the heart.
Why?
No, the heart's cute.
That's why we would have nixed the heart. A 58-year-old man doesn't need a little cute heart emoji.
It's cutesy. Yeah.
Yeah, I would have never allowed
Danny,
that.
It's adorable. I pass out hearts. That's just my thing. So, yeah, no, I wouldn't have let you nix the heart.
Did you ever figure out who left their heart in the bathroom on the floor when you handed them out the last time?
I don't. No.
It's a mystery that goes unsolved. It's a cold case.
Whoever did that, it'll get them back. It's called karma. And I'm not talking about good karma. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. Q is on the south side of the great city of Chicago. And hope everybody's safe and healthy. Q, how you doing, kid?
Hey, Cap, what's going on?
How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm calling because I kind of agree with you, but I kind of don't agree with you on the Miss Trubisky thing. I hope he do well. I just hope his Drew Brees come out of him this season and prove a lot of people wrong. If not, I just hope they try to make a shot towards getting Aaron Rodgers.
Look, I don't see how they're going to get Aaron Rodgers. I don't. I would love to see Mitchell Trubisky channel his inner Drew Brees because nothing would make me happier, A, to see the Bears win, B, to watch a whole bunch of people
I got one more thing,
choke
Cap.
On Crow.
I got one more thing. I don't like change. I don't want to see you guys split up because you guys is like you, Chris. It's like perfect together. And if that was me, you guys would have had your own ESPN show with Stephen A. Smith now.
Hey man, we appreciate you. You're a good man. Keep listening, okay?
All right, Cap.
All right, see you, kid. 312-332-3776. That's right. Channel is inner Drew Brees. Take that, Black. Peter in Miami. Hey, Peter, what's up, Sparkles?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good, kid. How are you?
Good, thank you. First of all, congratulations to everyone with the changes at the station. For me personally, I'm thrilled with the change because now I don't have to wait until 10 a.m. Eastern time. to start listening to the show.
We appreciate you.
And you know I'll be listening every day. But I just have one question. Did you have a hand in this?
In what?
In pushing Bleck to the evening. Which, obviously, is deserved. Is deserved. My question is, if God willing, we do have football, did you push Bleck to the evening so you don't have to deal with him? Because let's be honest, everyone wants the Bears to win football games, the Bears to go to the playoffs, the Bears to win the Super Bowl. But if we are honest with each other, will that happen with Mitch Trubisky? I just think you just push him to the evening because you don't want to hear the end of it.
So I said to Bleck before we came on the air, Bleck, what did I say to you? I said how happy, A, I am for him and Abdallah. They've earned this opportunity. And B, I'm saddened that he and I aren't going to get to tangle in the mornings. And his response to me was, oh, I'll be around. Right?
I know. I'm just messing with you guys. You know I love everyone, and I love every single show on the station, especially during this pandemic. It's something that kept me on the rails here. And living outside of Chicago, it's my only outlet to my sports, because I don't listen to national airways because they don't talk about Chicago teams. I don't know why, but that's my outlet. So, again, a big thanks for whatever you guys do over there, and I love you guys.
You're the best. Stay safe and healthy, okay, kid?
Take care.
All right, bye-bye. It's our guy Peter down in Miami, our good Greek friend. 312-332-3776. Let's go out to my wife's hometown, Dixon, Illinois, where my great father-in-law still lives. Hey, Alan, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Good. I was out in Dixon last week.
Did you catch any fish down here?
What's that?
Did you catch any fish down here?
Did I catch any fish? I freaking caught Jaws. Did you see the fish? Check it out on social media, kid. I caught a freaking monster.
Did you? Did you fish by the dam?
We fished on the Mississippi near, I think it's Fulton.
Okay. Yeah.
Right there.
Hey,
go ahead.
I'm just calling to, I wanted to ask you about Mitch Trubisky, because at the end of the season, it was all Matt Nagy's fault and the offensive line's fault.
No. Mitch was bad, too. Mitch has to be way better.
Yes, I agree. But I'm just talking about the general consensus of the fans. It was Mitch is bad, but Nagy and the offensive line aren't helping him.
That's true.
And now it's all Mitch Trubisky's fault.
Okay, it's not Mitch Trubisky's fault. It was a combination of Mitchell Trubisky, bad O-line, bad play calling, no tight end, like all of that. Run game sucked. All of it. It's all got to be better, period.
I agree.
All right, man, have a good day.
All right, appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, you see you.
Bye.
Tell my father-in-law I said hi. The great Ron Semitas. 312-332-3776. Best-looking human being in television. His name's Patrick Sharp. He joins us in exactly 2 minutes.